we have a responsibility to reduce crime, and that's going to be our primary focus. We have to make sure that the programs that we put in place are successful and continue the reductions that we've seen. We're going to end 2012 crime being down just under 13%. So that's a significant decrease, and the decreases have been happening year over year. So we're going to continue that. Second piece is to help people feel safer as they move about and come into the city. If you're going to a Rams game, if you're going to a Cardinals game, if we ever have hockey again and you go to a Blues game, you should feel safe because you're not going to be the victim of a crime. And then the last message, the cornerstone, was communicate. That we have to be able to communicate what we're doing, why we are doing it, and if we're successful or not, both internally to our officers and externally to the community. During a 30-day period this fall, into summer and into fall, we reduced homicides, aggravated assaults, and robberies by 68% because of our targeted strategies. That's a great success story. Those are the types of things that we have to tell people that we're doing. And as they hear that, they know their police department is working, they know that they're having results, and hopefully they feel safer and more comfortable traveling about the city.
You have spoken a lot about that targeted policing, the homicide deterrent initiative. What do you want to see that looking like going forward?
Hotspot policing is not just a program. It has to do, I'm trying to find ways to embed it into the culture of the police department. If you read the literature, if you see how other departments are doing it around the country, that's the future. That's the way policing in the 21st century is really done. Putting your resources where the crimes are, putting your resources where the problems are, and not just saying a neighborhood, actually pointing it down to sometimes a single block or a couple of blocks adjacent.
How do you get the officers to buy into something like that, where you may be asking them to shift how and when and where they're working?
In the 2 weeks since my announcement of this position, I actually met with the Police Officers Association. I talked to the leadership group, which represents sergeants and above, and I talked to the Ethical Society of Police, which is the African-American labor group. I told them they all have a seat at the table. As a department, it's our job to come up with strategies to reduce crime. We can't do that if we're bickering among ourselves. Just like I have a vested interest in making sure that we reduce crime, those groups do too. So that if that's how we're gauged, I think we all should stand together. We all need to talk about the strategies, and hey, I'm open to taking input from the officers about what will make it better. You know, we have enough officers. I mean, that seems to be a popular question. Now we just have to make sure that the resources we have are deployed as smartly as we can, and hotspot policing, homicide deterrent initiative, safety checkpoints, those all seem to be strategies that work and things that we're going to continue to do.
What sort of cooperative initiatives are you going to be looking to either expand or start with either the county or maybe other public and private institutions?
I think in the law enforcement side first, we have a great relationship with the FBI in doing gang task force and some violent crime initiatives. I think that criminals don't recognize city-county borders. They don't recognize state borders. So I think we have to look regionally and not only deal with things in the city but partner with St. Louis County.
And what would a partnership with the county look like?
My thoughts, my conversation would be to start with some smaller units first to see how it works, work out the bugs, and then see what the county's appetite is for it.
What are some new initiatives you'd like to bring into the department?
One of the first ones is an expanding of some of the things that we're already doing. I think we're doing some very good things right now. Dan Isom started some very good things. I want to continue those. Neighborhood ownership model is another example of things that need to be expanded. We're going to do some targeted enforcement activities for criminals. Hotspot policing puts us in the right area for the right spots. We're also going to look at targeting some specific individuals that we know by name and making sure that we know where they are, what they're doing, and that they know that we're watching them.
And what sort of things do you think you'll be changing?
I think that it kind of leads into the question about local control. We have a significant chance to reinvent the police department. I think looking at the way that the districts throughout the city are structured, that's an important one because we were limited or actually mandated by state to have 9 districts. 9 districts probably 20 years ago was a good idea. Right now, probably 6 districts is a better idea. Balancing crime, balancing calls for service, balancing officers. What that will do then is it will give officers, it will put more officers under the command of a specific leader, a specific captain, and allow them to do their own targeting. What that also does is we're not laying off officers. What we will do is through attrition, reduce some of the command rank, reduce some of the middle to upper management, and take that money and reinvest back into the department, whether it's through increased salaries, additional officers, technology, equipment. Those Those are the things that I want to sit down with the association, the Police Officers Association, the ethical and the leadership, and talk about and say, okay, we have an opportunity. What do you want? We're also bringing back the rank of major. It develops succession planning and lets us move the next level of leaders into a position where they start to learn and start to develop and start to grow.
What does the local control transition look like for you? How do you see this playing out over the next 6 months?
Over the last 2 weeks, as I've made my rounds to the area stations and talked to the officers, I wanted to do a couple of things. I wanted to reassure them that local control is a good thing. During the voting process, the campaign leading up to the election, there were a lot of misinformation out there, and officers became very concerned about their pensions. I wanted to let them know that this is not, local control is not about their pensions, so I want to take that off the table. Officers were also worried about interference from elected officials. I wanted to let them know that that's not going to happen. I wanted them to be clear, though, what interference was. If an elected official says, hey, I've got a problem on my street, somebody's selling drugs or kids throwing rocks, can you do something about it? That's not political interference. That's their job, just like it's our job. Political interference is when they ask you to treat somebody differently than somebody else. Let's say they have a relative, and you say, hey, don't arrest my relative, go arrest this person. That's political interference. Those are the types of things that we won't tolerate, that we can't tolerate. And then I think as we transition to local control, hey, it gives us a louder voice at the table. Now, under the Board of Police Commissioners, the mayor was only one vote. Now the mayor is solely responsible for the actions of the police department. He's responsible to the voters. I think we're going to have we have a great relationship with the police board. I think we're going to have a great relationship with the mayor under local control as well.
Are officers buying in, listening, understanding now what local control, as you see it, means?
I think they are listening. I think that police officers are those types of people that really have to see it to believe it. And so I think as we move over the next 6 months and they start to see what the plan is and they start to see, you know, we talked about combining city and department functions that overlap, purchasing, human resources, supply, things like that. As they start to see those and they start to see some savings, start to see some efficiencies, and then hopefully we can reinvest back into the department, I think they'll realize that this is a good thing.
What relationship are you going to be looking for to have with City Hall?
A good relationship is always a good place to start. And not only City Hall, but the prosecutor, Jennifer Joyce, I think she does a marvelous job. What can we do to help her do her job better? I think we need to find ways to help the courts understand some of the challenges that neighborhoods have. Judges are extremely autonomous, and I think they need to be autonomous in their actions, but they need to understand some of the struggles that we're facing out here in the neighborhoods. But I think we all want the same thing. I think we all want to reduce crime. I think we all want the citizens to feel safe. I think we all want everybody to enjoy life in the city of St. Louis. So our goals are all in line. The question is, how do we achieve that? And I think that's where we'll work together.
You started talking about possibly looking into civilian review boards. Why is this a direction that you would want to see the department maybe take or at least look into?
The taxpayers entrust us with $173 million. That comes with a responsibility on our part. Responsible for their safety, responsibility for spending their money wisely, and for transparency and openness. Civilian review is not something that the officer should be afraid of. If you look around the country at departments that have civilian review, in most cases, the civilian review upholds the actions of the officers and realize that the officers acted appropriately. The other thing, too, is and we talk about discipline in the bigger picture, is that I want to create an environment where an honest mistake is that, an honest mistake, and it's a learning opportunity. And really, we need to sit down and ask the officer, why'd you do that? And maybe it's a training issue, maybe it's an equipment issue. Let's find out what the reason is and keep other officers from falling into the same mistake. But I also want to be clear here. If it's illegal, if it's immoral, if it's unethical, it'll be dealt with as harshly and as severely as we can. But those honest mistakes, officers have to come to work every day. We ask them to run down alleys in the dark of night, chasing teenagers, sometimes kids with guns, and they have to know that we're not going to armchair quarterback and second-guess their split-second life decision. They have to know that we're going to support them. I think civilian review has a place in the conversation, but it also is not an opportunity to try the officers in public. What it is to make sure that the department is operating with integrity and as ethically as possible.
One of the issues you dealt with over in your time at City Hall was pensions for the firefighters, and that's something that's going to come up, I believe, for the department now. What conversations do you want to be having about pensions to, again, calm the officers?
Just because we're having conversations about pensions doesn't mean that it's a money grab. What it means is that we're trying to be fiscally responsible, because they have to remember that the pensions just aren't their money, it's also taxpayer dollars. I want to be clear, again, there have been zero conversations with the mayor's office, and I was there, so I know, about taking control of the police pension. The conversations have been with the trustees about making sure that the system is solvent and there in the future.
And what have those conversations looked like so far?
The police retirement system has a legislative package that are going to push forward this legislative session in Jefferson City that has significant changes for new hires, people that have not even joined the department yet, people that don't even know they want to be police officers yet, and some very, very, very modest changes for active employees around contribution rates. So for an active employee, for somebody that's already here at the department, none, very little. For new hires, they can make a decision. This is what the job pays. This is what the benefit package looks like. This is total compensation. Is this a job that you want? And then the hope is that those changes over years will help the system be sustainable.
You've expressed some reluctance with Chief Fitch's proposal to have more guns in schools and trained hands. He's asked the question, what do you do in the 5 minutes between a shooter and the time that the police can respond? How do you answer that question?
Right after Sandy Hook, we asked the public schools from the city of St. Louis, the archdiocese representatives from the schools that are in the city, and some of the charter schools to come sit down with our command staff and talk and ask them, what do they need? What do they want? We found that they want help in securing their buildings, single point entry, locks, access points, those types of things. They want training on what to do if there is an active shooter in the building, and they want better communications with us. Not once in our conversation, and it was 90-plus minutes, did one of them say, we want more guns in our school. Later in January or early February, getting back with the schools and doing some training, some site assessments, teaching their faculty and staff how to deal with an active shooter, whether it's sheltering in place, whether it's evacuation programs, whether it's hardening the targets at the schools, those types of things. So those conversations are going to go on and going to continue, and they should.
What role do you see technology playing in the way that you'll run this police department?
I think technology is a force multiplier. So the smarter we can be, the better we can use our resources. I think GPS is a tremendous resource for helping to track cell phones, iPads, things like that that are stolen. I think better equipment in the cars, whether it's weapons platforms, better computers, the balance will come in finding the funding opportunities.
And how about social media? I know you've got a new Twitter handle and a new blog out there.
I think social media, and it goes to that third cornerstone that I talked about, communications. Any way that we can, and society has shifted to the cyber communications, we've even noticed it in our officers. You know, some of the older officers, get out and talk and really rely on that face-to-face conversation. Some of the new younger officers are more proficient texting and tweeting and Facebooking, and we have to teach them how to get out of the car, and we have to teach them how to have these conversations. But I don't see that as a bad thing. We teach them the skills, but we also harness that technology side of it so they can communicate and we can get our message out to more people more quickly. But it is hard in just 140 characters.
What do you see as being the biggest challenge for the department to face?
I think it's a couple of things. As we move into local control, it's really helping the officers understand that local control is a good thing. And I said earlier that it will be transparent and seamless to the officers on the street. Our primary mission is to reduce crime. If we reduce crime, and I've told this to the officers, if we reduce crime, if we help people feel safer, then the conversations about budgets, the conversations about equipment, cars, whatever the conversation, it gets a lot easier because we're doing our job and we're achieving our results.